We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
We've been talking about Andrew Berry's comments to the Cleveland media today about not having a first-round pick. The previous two drafts, and obviously in this draft as well, here's what he had to say about how the organization has weathered that situation.
One, time will tell. I think that there are a variety of ways to build a team, I think, right? We saw, I think, the Rams this week. If they keep their first-round pick, it's the first-round pick that they'll have in the Sean McVay era. I also think the reality of the first-round picks, like, the league rate hit weight is like 50%. They're lottery tickets. They're good lottery tickets at the end of the day and highly, highly valuable. But, you know, even if you have a first round pick, it's certainly not a certain thing. So I think maybe having a level of realism in terms of, you know, what can be achieved with your pool of resources or your assets, you know, that's really part of it. But we've been pretty systematic in terms of how we were going to deploy our picks, our dollars, how we were going to manufacture picks to make it up with volume. So we feel pretty good about where the roster sits today. But look, we are looking forward to having one back next year for sure.
So it sounds, if you listen to that, it does sound like he downplays to some extent the lack of a first round pick. Do you think that's because they actually believe that? Or do you think because if they said, oh, it's really tough not having a first round pick, it opens up a can of worms talking about the trade that they made where they sent all three first round picks somewhere else?
I think there's a little bit of truth in both things. You know, what he said first about them being lottery tickets, then he said they're really good lottery tickets.
Yeah.
You know, they're better odds.
Yeah.
It's like when you go to the gas station to pick up the instant tickets. You like instant tickets?
Oh, I love me some
instant tickets. You know what happens when you buy the dollar tickets? You most likely lose.
Yeah.
But you know what happens if you pop for the $50 ticket? It's a good chance you're going to win.
Yeah.
So first round picks are like the $50 instant ticket. And yes, they don't always hit. Mm-hmm. I bought $50 tickets and lost. But
isn't that a kick in the pants, by the way?
It is the worst, dude. It's the worst. It's like, because I've also won like $500 on one.
Yeah. Yeah. There was one time where I had won like $30 on a $30 ticket. This is in Charlotte because there was that corner gas station. It was like my jam. And yeah. I went back and I just got one ticket and I won $60. And then I went back and got two more $30 tickets. And I won $800, $400 on each, and it was like the Super Bowl. Now, granted, it wasn't like $800 was the difference between me eating that week and not eating. We were doing fine at that point, but it was like, well, now I got $800. I turned $30 into $800, even though more often than not, I've turned $30 into nothing. Yeah.
So back to Andrew Berry and his analogy, which I thought was great. I also think, to your point, Nick, yeah, I mean, of course he would love to have a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. But if you say that, like, it's just going to open a can of worms, and you're going to be asked about it. And then you're also going to be, you're happy people questioning whether or not you regret the trade with Watson.
So I think, so there's the immediate, which is year one, where if you don't have a first-round pick, or like last year, you don't have a second-round pick, it's really tough to expect, no matter how many picks you have. Because I do believe that, like, you can have if you don't have a top 10 pick, you can try and take, you know, 3 5th round picks and see if you can get somebody who ends up performing like a top, you know, 10 pick. I believe in the power, I believe in the math behind they are lottery tickets, and at some point you just want to scratch a bunch off and see if you can turn $1 into $100. I totally get that. But I kind of think, like, how it has mattered or how it will, like, I don't care if you have a first round pick or whether you have 12 picks or 3 picks or 3-10, you know, whatever the draft math is, and we don't do math on this show, that's a well-known fact. I think 2 years out, if you do have a first round pick and it's a high first round pick, you need that player to impact you that next year. No BS. That person needs to, if you're a top 15 pick even, you need somebody that can at least be a rotational player, if not a starter, day one. I think that's, unless it's a quarterback, I think it's non-negotiable. Everything after that becomes, to me, a 2-year review process. And that becomes, 2 years later, can you say you have 2 to 3 contributors off that team? And so, like, that, and I will say, that is the bar that Andrew has kind of met. Like I mentioned the MJ Emerson draft, where your first two picks were Alex Wright and MJ Emerson. MJ, who's been a starter darn near since day one, whether he was listed as a starter or not, he gave you starter production day one, or you know, week five in. And then I think Alex Wright going into year three. I think Alex Wright might be the most slept on defensive lineman the Browns have, because he was really good last year and came alive at the end of the season once he got healthy. So like, okay, that draft, you didn't have a pick until pick 74.
Right.
Or sorry, maybe pick 70. I can't remember. You pass go, you collect $200. And even going back to the Jed Wills Grant Delpit, like you might not like Jed as a player. You might, well, Grant finally just came around this year and then you paid him. Okay, but you got two consistent starters out of that draft. That, I think, is the bare minimum. Whether you have five picks like the Browns, again, consistent starters with how they're set up this year, but at least consistent contributors. I thought it was interesting, by the way, Real Xavier P on social media, at Nick Wilson says, at Dustin Fox 37, said, I think we have revisionist history at times. He said, I think Anthony Schwartz over St. Brown and Wills over someone else is killing the perception of his drafts. But GM is judged off re-signing stars, roster management, cap management, trades, and draft. I agree to some degree. Here's the thing, though. Revisionist history is absolutely how you should grade a draft. Whether or not somebody agreed that somebody else agreed that Anthony Schwartz was a third-round pick or not, doesn't matter. You picked him, and he ended up being, I would say, one of the more significant busts you had. So, like...
Yeah, but it's hard to... Again, third-round picks, it's tough, man.
Well, no, I know, I'm just using him as an instance because Xavier P. did. Like, I will like, oh, man, like James Hudson. I love James Hudson at Cincinnati, so when they drafted him in the fourth round, I was like, well, I really like that. So in that immediacy, I was willing to say I like the draft because of James Hudson and these two other players. But the reality is, that's a, okay, this is what we got. What do you think? The real grade starts about 2 years out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's where... You know, like I said, like when you and I went through the four drafts that Andrew has had, and nothing truly offensive to me. This isn't, there's no, like, I mean, you look back like 2 years out after some of the Phil Savage drafts, and Phil was not a bad GM, by the way. They didn't end up winning. His bigger problems were getting along with Romeo Crennel and I think John Collins at the point. But like, I don't think Phil was an atrocious GM. Look at some of those drafts. They didn't have enough steady contributors out of those drafts. Heckert actually had a couple good drafts. It was just that 2012 was so disastrous with Trent Richardson and Brandon Whedon with the Haslams coming in. But like you look at Farmer. We knew a year out, yeah, none of those dudes can play. With that one or two of those Sashi drafts. Oh, Sean Coleman. Yeah, he was stink on crap. He didn't get better last year at all. Like,
baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So I give Andrew the credit.
There's some of these names you're bringing up I kind of forgot about.
Dude, I like you understand. I love to just go through the Browns draft index and just be like, that dude, like Ryan Miller, the just gigantic guard from Colorado, who's like 6'8" or something like that. Then Spencer Drango.
Drango.
Full stop.
Drango Unchained.
I really thought Spencer Drango was going to be like a diamond in the rough at the guard spot. I really did. Don't give me that side eye. No, I did.
Baylor, right?
From Baylor, yeah. And was some of it that I really thought his name was awesome?
I mean, you don't have to admit this, Nick. You really don't.
What?
You don't have to admit that.
Why?
I don't know. You want to be credible or?
Credibility is a myth. Credibility is an image thing. There are other people in this station. There's other people in this station that'll tell you every time that they got something right and seemingly only address the things that are wrong when like it benefits them. My credibility is my honesty. Anything else on that,
Kate? I'll use that against you.
Well, okay. Anything anyone says will be used against us, not just in a court of law, but in the court of Keith. 216-474-0092. Do you guys think in any way the Browns' lack of first-rounders has held them back? Because I actually think for all the belly aching about the Deshaun trade, and I get it, man. Like he has not been a franchise quarterback consistently or healthy the last 2 years, and so that automatically goes, but what about the first three rounders? Yeah, but you've still been pretty competitive without those first rounders. And you've managed to still draft well.
Yeah.
So I think what the Browns have done in the draft the last, and granted, I'm giving them a year this year, but the first two of the 3 years without a first-round pick because of the Deshaun trade, I don't think it's directly held them back. It's probably meant that they've had to outsource some of those one-year deals that we talked about. Like, because you didn't have a first-round pick, maybe you had to make the Za'Darius trade. Or because you didn't have a first-round pick, or you didn't hit on Jordan Elliott, then you had to go sign Dalvin Tomlinson. But like, I actually think all things considered, you actually look at the players they picked, and without first-round picks, I think they've hit on as many contributors as they did when they had first-round picks and second-round picks. So, granted, this year could be a complete train wreck. You never know. It could also be a great draft.
Yeah.
But like, I think they've kind of weathered the storm, despite the fact that the Deshaun side of this hasn't paid off in dividends.
Weathered the storm is probably a good way to put it, because it could be worse.
Yeah.
And yet the team has still, after the Deshaun trades, still been a playoff team. 11-win team, by the way.
Which is better.
That says more about the roster than it does anything else.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.